You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey fam, what's up? What's the dealio with the 411? It's me, Salish. I'm so excited to bring this next episode to you. This girl who I'm having on for this episode, since recording this episode a few months ago, she has become such a good friend, and I am so happy to have met her. I hope you enjoy the episode. Also want to give a shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode, and also Broadway Podcast Network for being awesome and producing the podcast. Check them out, you guys. Also follow Black Hair in the Big Leagues on Patreon if you're not already, and also slip into my DMs at Salisha Thomas on Instagram and let me know what you think. Subscribe, tell a friend, and enjoy the show. It's okay. Hello and welcome to another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas, and my heart is already so big. My heart is already so warm and actually about to explode. This beautiful face that I'm looking at on my screen right now, I'm like, oh, you guys, I'm so spoiled because I got the videos and you're probably listening to this. Oh, I wish you could see this queen, honey. Okay. She toured with Dreamgirls. She toured with Memphis. You guys, she stole the show as Nicki Marin in The Bodyguard on tour. She was on Broadway in Getting the Band Back Together, most recently in The Book of Mormon. And y'all, if you are in the room with her, she has the height of a supermodel. She is a model. She's got the grace of a first lady. And she's got the most undeniable presence, the most beautiful, quiet confidence. You guys, please help me welcome Jasmine Richardson.
Alicia, thank you so much for having me. I'm like beyond honored. I really don't even have the words to like capture how I'm feeling, but thank you so much for saying such beautiful things.
It's truly easy. It's so easy. I'm like, oh my, can I tell you? So obviously, I know you, we're friends, but I did a deep dive before you coming on today, and I'd never been to your website before. Can I tell you my first reaction?
What was it?
Wow. I said an audible, like, I literally, I clicked onto your homepage, and all I felt was, and I said out loud, I said, wow. Yes, you're, the photo that you have out there, it captures your entire personality. It is so welcoming. And you are, you're so striking.
Oh my, coming from you, obviously you are a queen, as we know. Okay, many pageants, honey, many titles. I just want to say, coming from you, that is an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, girl. See, that humble is showing. Your humble is showing. I'm like, oh my goodness.
What do I say? Real recognizes real. You're stunning. I mean, it's, who's mad? Not me.
I'm not mad. You know what? Thank you. Like, literally, thank you for that compliment. And I'm like, yeah, I've got beautiful friends. I'm so beautiful happy that you made the time this morning. And like, how are you? Where are you? What's up?
Ooh, I just got to Houston, Texas. My family, I'm born and raised from Houston, Texas. So I just left New York, which is crazy because now it's snowing. And I was like, no, I just missed it by literally a day. But I'm in Houston and it's like warm and I don't have to wear a coat. So I'm not mad about that either.
Right. I was like, wait, you wanted to be up in the snow? Do you?
Not really. But you know, when it first starts snowing, it looks so beautiful. And I really wanted to like witness just the first like coming down of the snow. But it is what it is. I'm with my family. I cannot complain. I am blessed. It's been good.
Good. Will you be there for the holidays or?
Just for the holidays. And then I'm going to come right back to my city, New York City. Because honestly, once I leave it, I'm always missing it. When I'm there, I'm like, I can't wait to get out. But once I leave, I'm like, oh, what are they doing? What's happening in New York?
I feel the same way. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, New York is, Actually, it's just my favorite place on the. I just love it.
It's a bomb city. Like every day, I think you are really doing this every day, because it was such a dream and a goal to not only be there and survive but thrive in it. And it's like, wow, you really are doing it. God is good.
Are you still bi-coastal, by the way? I know that you were going back and forth.
No, I wouldn't say bi-coastal because I now have that, you know, have the show. But every day I'm thinking about LA as well, because I love LA for my spirit, just because I feel really good there.
Yeah.
But New York is like all my friends are there. I feel like I have an extended family. So
yeah,
it just feels good there too. But I think about the sun all the time.
I mean, honestly, like I'm in California right now and I'm like, mm-hmm. it's like a rainy day, which is a very rare, we're in a drought. We've been in a drought for so long. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, a rainy day. Let me get cozy. What is this? I used to work at Disneyland, and if it sprinkled, they would cancel our shows. They'd be like,
no way.
Yes. They would be like, you guys, rain contingency. Everyone go home. Don't worry. We'll still pay you. I was like, what? You guys, it's sprinkling.
People can't even drive in the rain in LA. People can't even drive in the rain. They can't drive period there, but let it be a little rain. People are like,
people are done.
Whereas all over the place.
In New York, it'll be snowstorm. People still going to the grocery store.
Living their full complete lives. Nothing changes. It can be hailing, which I've experienced in New York, and people are like still out there doing what they have to do. Like New York is just so like, what's in you will come out of you. Like I feel like such a gangster when I'm in New York, because I'm like, if I can make it here, I really can do anything.
Literally, if you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere.
Yes, the lows for me, the tone is the depth. Yes.
Wait, so question, like you really can do anything and you really have been doing everything. When did you made like a theater school?
A theater school. Yes, the team. You're talking about the team.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So I was talking about with my friend, because I was like, I really wanted to create a space where, you know, I'm from Texas, so a lot of people don't always have the resources, not just being from Texas, but I didn't at the time when I was younger have the resources to New York. Like flying to New York was a treat, you know, to see a Broadway show. I don't think I saw a Broadway show until college, or yeah, probably college. So I wanted to create, was that
college?
Your
college? Well? No.
Oh, wow.
I saw a Broadway show when I was 13 and was like, I'm forever changed. I want to do this. You saw your first Broadway show in college.
And I didn't even listen to musicals in high school. It wasn't until college that I really was exposed to theater like
Go
that.
Home, Roger. How dare you?
I was a late bloomer. I was a super late bloomer because I was an athlete. I ran track all throughout high school. So it wasn't, I just wasn't doing, you know, thinking about theater. So yeah, I was pretty late. So for me, I realized I just didn't have the access to a lot of things. So I wanted to create a space for people, especially kids of color, to have access and kind of have mentorships, which is funny that you brought this up, because I'm really not focused on that project as much. I'm an adjunct for my alma mater, which is Abilene Christian University. So I figured out a way, because we're not working technically, quote unquote, right? I took that idea and just pitched it to that university, and I'm trying to spread it out to more universities in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's actually been really, really great. They put me under an adjunctship so I could basically develop it as I'm doing. So I'm learning as I go, and I get to teach, and thank God get paid for it. So
that's awesome.
I figure out a way to do it.
You started that as, you started your own thing first and then pitched it to
Yes, and then transitioned it. It's still my own thing, but I put it under that university blanket, because then I figured I could financially do better, and then I would have the resources through them to do some of the other things I wanted to do. I wouldn't have to necessarily fund it out of my pocket fully.
Can we talk about how good God is?
He's beyond good.
That's
He's
bomb.
Beyond good. He's so good, girl. There's no words, because this has been really tough. It's been tough on everybody. But I'm really grateful that He's provided me with some ingenuity just to think of things to do to, you know, supplement the income a little bit, just a little bit.
That's bomb. And also, like, it's one thing to have an idea. It's one thing to have a God-given idea. It's another thing to say, okay, I'm going to do something with this
idea. I'm going to do it. That's really hard, actually. Because it's like, before you get to that step, I know for me, I'm always like, somebody else is already doing it. You know, like, what new can you bring to that space? And you know what? Somebody can do it better than you all the time. So to fight through that, to even get to the place where I'm like, no, I believe in myself to do it. I'm going to make the phone call. I'm going to follow through with what God has already given me, you know, and just do it. So, yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Especially since there is nobody else like you.
Right. If you think about it, think about that.
How you teach a class, if you and I had the same exact curriculum and syllabus, syllabi, and we were teaching two different groups of students or even the same group of students, they're going to get very different classes when I'm teaching it versus when you teach it.
Absolutely. Think about it. When you go to the grocery store, there are many varieties of breads, chips. No one said, oh, there can only be one type of white bread.
Oh,
there can
only bread be one already rye exists.
Bread. Exactly. Bread already exists. Are you kidding me? People are like, what else can I do with that bread? How else can I make that bread unique? So, I mean, there's always room. That's what I'm learning during this pandemic. There is room for you. So do it. You have nothing to lose.
Jasmine. Come on, mic drop. Come on, mic drop. Wow. Okay.
Yes, girl.
So I don't know if you've already thought about this, if you're already talking about it in when you're teaching or not, but I want to know, like, what would you think, what would be a good way? Sorry, I just want to ask you, because I'm wondering for myself, like, what's a good way to approach hair from an educational standpoint? Or
what do you mean in terms of educational, like, well, teaching someone else or someone working with your
like
hair
if you're
in school,
a student I remember I was introduced to pin curls in college and you know, I did those pin curls for years and they're actually not pin curls that I can use today because my hair is like, I'm not white. And I also don't straighten my hair anymore. And so, but that's what I learned in school. Like, what do you think, when would be a good time to like talk about hair in schools, especially when not every program has a bunch of black kids. Sometimes it's just one.
Absolutely. When you think about it, we've had to make do with less than all the time. When you're talking about the color of your tights, the color of your capizios or your laducas, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, we've always made do. Even then, when my hair was permed and I could obviously wrap it like I would normally do at night to put my wig cap on when I was in college and therefore, you know, do a show. Like, now I had to learn how to even understand my hair when I transitioned from having a perm to being natural. I didn't know how to do a pin curl, period, because my hair was never long enough. So that was, I always had to figure out things on my own anyway. But now that people are having these kind of dialogues and understanding that everyone is different, everyone's hair texture is different. I mean, we're having these problems on Broadway.
Right.
You know, we're having the same issues on, like, okay, can I get the lace on? Doesn't match. I have to braid my hair a certain way. You can't just dig deeply into my, you know, you're going to hit my scalp. Like, it hurts. And because sometimes people look at your skin, and I've had this happen, and think, oh, you can handle it. No, I cannot.
because our hair is more coarse than theirs or more, whatever, more texture. They're like, oh, you're tough. You can handle
it. It's assumed.
Yes.
Which is a lot about Black women in general. A lot is always assumed about Black women. So I'm teaching my kids even now to just speak up for yourself. If you need different things, like, okay, maybe another young lady, she's pink curling, she needs bobby pins. Maybe for you, you need rubber bands. I need rubber bands. So it's just one of those things about knowing what you need. But, you know, we're in a day and time now where the natural movement, which is weird to even say because it's just what grows out of our head, but now that it's a normalized thing now, we're seeing natural hair more frequently. People should feel open to having that dialogue, even at work. It's okay to say, I need XYZ. We had a conversation before we left, before we knew we were leaving this long, about Band-Aids. I'm on stage, I can't wear, because it wasn't invested in at that time. We didn't have flesh colored Band-Aids at work. They just buy Band-Aids because naturally you think a Band-Aid is a Band-Aid. Well, in my show, we don't have a lot of clothes on. So if someone hurts themselves, you don't want to see it. You know, Caucasian colored Band-Aids.
Literally things that don't cross. In Africa. Come on, Book of Mormon. In Africa, literally. Wow. Can we talk about that for a second? Flesh colored Band-Aids. Whose flesh?
Mm-hmm. Right. Who said that was flesh colored? So, but you know this, Felicia, we've already been having this dialogue. It's been crazy during the pandemic because so much has happened, you know, in our country. So, of course, these conversations are trickling down to entertainment, other industries. It's just a normal thing now. So we're talking about it. But I tell my kid, my biggest thing with them is you have to be an advocate for yourself in this business. No one is going to hold your hand. Once you get out of college, there is no syllabus. You have to get yourself up. You have to get yourself to that audition. You have to get yourself prepared. You have to have all your, they're giving you the tools. You're paying for the tools, actually. So now that you have them, I'm teaching them basically how to be young adults, what they don't teach you in class. That's what my program is centered around. Wow. What they don't teach you in class. You know, I'm not there to teach them how to act. I'm there to teach them how to be in this business.
In your class, you're teaching them what they don't learn in class. What they don't teach you in class, that's what you're going to learn in this class. That is amazing.
Yeah.
But honestly, honestly, it's so real. I'm like in the process of applying for an educational position as well at my alma mater. So I'm very interested in like, what do you think about this and all of the things. And I'm thinking about all the things that I didn't get while I was in the school, even though I loved my school. But there was a lot of things that that you learn in the real world. It's like, can you teach me some of that? Like some of the stuff you have to learn.
But they don't know. But sometimes they don't know. You know what I mean? I had to give them grace and go, you did not know. I can't even think off the top of my dome something that I learned in school, but like, or didn't learn in school that I figured out in the real world. I can't even think off the top of my head, but there's some certain things they just don't know. Because if you've been in an educational academic setting, you're not thinking about what's happening in New York City. You're just thinking about how to get your kids an agent or somebody to come and see their showcase. You're not thinking about the day to day. And that's the part about the budgeting. You need to be mindful. You're going to have regular people bills, but there's also actor bills, which are a whole other thing. Yep. That is expensive.
Yes. Yes, so it is.
Having multiple sources of income. Acting cannot be your main source. And it's not just a hustle side. It's like, I have one kid who is, it's not just a hustle. It's like, which is nothing wrong with that. We all do that. But, you know, I have one kid is also double majoring in chemical engineering. That's fantastic. You can still use that as, you know, something you do during at night or whatever, and then you hustle in the daytime. You can balance that. You can have more than one passion. So all those little things, girl.
Like, honestly,
things
like
I wish I knew.
The things that you just said, some of those I just learned because of this pandemic. Like, you can't just have this be your one hustle. I'm like, honey, I was in Beautiful. I was like, they're gonna have to drag me out of this building if they want me to leave. I'm gonna stay until I die. What did they do? They literally had to drag me off the stage. I was like, no, please. And that was the first time I've been unemployed since 2000 and I don't know, 12, 2013. Yes. And I was like, wait, you mean I just go home?
Right. To what? Never return. What do you mean?
Nobody told me in school, like,
yes, that's it. You said it right there. No one told me in school. No one told me my first Broadway show would close after 5 weeks. I only knew to get the show. I didn't know what happens if the show closes or is not successful. What do you do? That, is that the psychological thing?
Yes.
It's that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to, and you know what, this pandemic has helped a lot, like getting into all the things that I should have been getting into 2 years ago. It's like, okay, girl. Now I have no other choice but to like expand, but like to be in a show and have the freedom of like, okay, this show could close tomorrow and I'm still gonna be okay. That is
cool. That's power.
That's power.
That is power over your own life, and it's not based off of somebody else. Right. We're all learning that right now. Yes. We're learning it. It's real. It's scary, man. It's some dark days. I'm not gonna lie on this podcast. Like, there's been some really tough days. Like, why did I do this? Our whole industry shut down. What else, Lord? What else do I have the skill set for? I've been focused on this thing, this particular thing for so long.
Yeah.
Girl, yeah, I had to figure it out.
Right.
I really did. So I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, we're all, you know, I'm excited to have our industry back. I know you are because you have a brand new Broadway show coming.
Oh, we hope. I'm not heard anything yet, but I'm like praying. I'm like, Lord, I'm praying for that email.
I believe in God because he's not going to give it to you just to take it from you. So I'm believing that's going to happen. But yeah, so girl, yeah, you know, you understand, Felicia. I'm not even going to start preaching. You understand.
Honey, I do. But I'm like, this pandemic, like you said, it's been some dark days. It's been some dark days. But I think if we can come out of this still alive and healthy, there's a lot of lessons that God was like, remember when I was like, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. Okay, so in the year 2020, even though it's been like one calendar year, this has been more than just one year. Mm-hmm. We have lived a lot of life.
Yes, we have.
The lessons that I have learned and am learning.
Mind-blowing, right? Completely mind-blowing. I think this was nothing but God. I said he wants to get our attention, meaning the world, and he did. I really do. And it's depending on how you listen to him. You know, I know everyone doesn't believe in God exactly, but I think that the universe, the crystals, whatever you choose to believe,
right,
he is trying to get our attention. And I am hearing him loud and clear for me, because I think I was so busy. And I mean, some of the stuff, of course, was productive and impactful, but sometimes I wasn't tuned into what he might want me to do. And now I'm really tuned in, because I'm like, okay, I don't have anything but you to get out of this. I have nothing else to lean on, depend on. So, okay, you got my attention, sir, ma'am. Right. You.
Right? I'm like, I got my oil ready to go. I've never been more in my word. I'm like, sorry, Lord, that it took a whole pandemic. Lord, but I'm here. I'm like reading my Bible. I'm saying my scriptures. I love you, Jesus.
Oh my goodness, you are me and I am you. Okay, that is my life. You're living my life then, girl. That's it.
Seriously. Attention. He's like, may I have your attention, please? I'm like,
please. And then you're like, oh, you don't hear me? He says, stop. He pressed that button. Stop. Boom. World, stop.
He's like, did you learn the lesson yet? If not, you're gonna have to go through it.
Right. And there's some other things I'm figuring out, like I had to grow in. It's not just your career. You have to work. What about your mental, your spiritual development? You know, even I talk to my therapist way more now, because I'm making the time. I have the time to do it. There were times I was like, I'm just going to cancel this week because I don't have time, or I'm fine. You know, kind of pushing things off. Girl, the things that are coming up out of me, things that have been laying dormant, that God was like, let's get this together, because at some point you want to get married. You don't want to carry that into your marriage. One point you're going to have kids. You want to take that trauma to your kids. Like, it's like, oh
my God. Really?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Jasmine, why don't we talk so much more? I'm like, yes. Yes.
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I had friends who saw your production of The Bodyguard,
mm-hmm.
and they would be like, you know, it was good, but you know what? The sister really stole the show. And I was like, tell me more. I'm like, I know her. How many people told me that Nick Cameron stole the show?
That is so nice. That's just nice to be thought of after a show. Because, you know, you'll see some shows, you're like, I don't remember what the story was about. I don't remember anything. Like, I've had those moments like, I know I liked it, but I don't remember anything. So to be remembered is always nice.
God is so good. You're performing next to Deborah Cox, who is a freaking icon, legend, gorgeous beauty.
She really is.
I mean, I don't know her personally. I'm just saying from the outside. And okay. All right, moving on. And who we got hot in here? Okay. Y'all gonna have to get the video. Okay. But to see that this icon, and to hear, I just keep hearing about my friend. You're still on the show. Like, girl, you're just getting started.
Right. What's scary about and funny about that is I had moved to LA after Beautiful, because Beautiful was, I tell this story all the time, Beautiful broke me, girl. I was like, I wanted it so bad. I was at that place where I was like, I'm ready for the transition. I've done tours. They were non-union. It's time for the next level. I was putting so much pressure on myself that I couldn't just enjoy the audition, enjoy the process, be happy that you got in the room, you got to this stage of the callback. You be happy with what happened because you did grow. I couldn't take it. And I was like, I'm going to move. I also had a wonderful boyfriend in LA. And so I moved to LA and it was great. I was there for 3 years. It was wonderful. But Bodyguard brought me back. That was literally, that changed my whole, it changed everything for me. It opened a lot of doors for me. It really did shift my career. So I was so grateful, but I wasn't even in New York when I got that. So God was like, go live your life. Go do something you really want to do. Move. And then he brought me back at the right time with the right project.
Mm-hmm. I have chills.
I was like, I'm not going back to New York.
You're a star. Like when I look at you, Jasmine, I think like, ooh, I can't wait to look at us in 10 years and be like, remember when we met at that audition way back when, and be like holding our Tony, like asking, do you need me to help you hold yours, Jasmine?
Yes. Being the Taraji P. Henson to each other. Because you, the way that woman celebrates other Black women, I can't even. So that's how I feel about all my girlfriends. And I say that because this business is small and you know it, right?
Yes.
So it's super small. I celebrate every win. Yeah. Every win. The first lesson I really learned as a professional was do not covet anybody else's blessings, because you do not know what they went through to get them. You don't know what they're dealing with to maintain it. So I do not, and I mean it, I do not covet other people's blessings. I'm not going to say I don't have moments of like, oh, I wish she's doing that again. That's awesome. I don't get jealous. I don't have a jealous bone in my body about it, because I go, I don't know what she has to do that. I don't know what she's been through to get there. I know friends that are doing amazing things and they lost their parents. Like that's something, I'm not saying that's obviously in connection, but right. I don't know what they went through in that journey to have the gumption to get up every day to audition and to do whatever they're doing. So I just go, God, I thank you for what's mine, because it's going to find me. So girl, yes. I feel the same way about you. I speak life into my friends. I cannot wait to celebrate you as a series regular. I cannot wait to celebrate you as a movie star. I cannot wait to be in that same room at the Emmys and be like, you know? Yes. Jasmine. That's the way you think about it. You have to think about the business that way.
This right here, this is what makes you so beautiful. And this is what makes people be like, this is, to me, it's like, you can be so stunning on the outside and be ugly to me.
Yes.
You can be the opposite, not symmetrical at all, and and be beautiful. And then you can be symmetrical, you. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous and stunning on the outside, you. But have such a beautiful spirit, such a generous outlook on life. To be so giving into others and so generous and so uplifting and kind. Whatever you look like, whatever your exterior looks like, if you've got that on the inside, it just takes it to the next level. It's like, it's something that I've always tried to practice, because I grew up feeling like I wasn't like the very beautiful. And so like, I'm like, how am I going to do these pageants next to these literal beauty queens? I got to bring something to the table that like, because whatever. And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe if I just come with more love, and it's something that I'm always trying to do, but I can see it. I can see it on you. I can see it in you. It's like, ah, and that's what it is. That's what it is. It's like, it's a secret. It's like the secret sauce. Mm-hmm. How can you turn heads in a room? What makes that person stand out standing next to that person? Like, I'm always trying to figure it out and pinpoint it. Like, I just watched a movie, and don't be mad at me, with Marilyn Monroe last night. She's got kind of a weird shaped head.
Right.
But no one says, people are like, oh, Marilyn.
Right.
There's something coming from the inside, whatever that, there's something else that we cannot see with the eye that comes through. And I can see it on you. And I'm like, something else there.
It's oh, special. My heart is like, ah, you know what it is, Alicia? And this is just what my purpose is, people. Mm. My purpose is people. Like, I view people as your biggest investment. It's not the money, it's not monetary, like, it's not anything you can see. Because what you impart in people, what you leave people with, is what's most important. Do I have people out there that may have unsavory feelings about me? Possibly. I may have done something unintentionally. You know what I mean? Mm. But I know that when I am intentional and purposeful, especially with the people in my life, like, this is what you should feel for me because I care about you. Wow. This is what you should feel for me because I love you. Like, you shouldn't feel anything other than that. I may have a bad day. I may have a bad moment. You know, I'm not perfect, but
right.
Still, you know, when you're pouring into people, you should, you know, give them something like that, a feeling of I'm loved. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm thought of, I'm cared for. I don't know. And it doesn't cost me anything.
Right.
That's the thing. It doesn't cost me anything.
Whoa, can we just pause for a second? I'm sorry. This aha mic drop moment.
Yes, ma'am.
It don't cost you nothing to
be nice.
Be nice.
If you want to be in this business is nothing but relationships, people. It's not about talent. What?
Confidence.
It's not about talent.
Yeah, right.
It's not. Some of it is, but relationships are everything. And confidence, being kind, I'm telling you.
Can I ask you a little bit about confidence as well?
Yes. So,
like, you have a, like, a quiet confidence, which is, it's like the opposite of arrogant. It's very humble. It's like, you know who you are and you're not like, this is who I am. Nope. You're like, this is who I am and I'm ready to slay. Bam! like what? I know we got to talk about hair, but I'm like, just so like, I know, but can we talk about, like, I feel like you just said, it's not about confidence. It's not about talent, people. I feel like confidence is also part of that. Like,
yeah.
Knowing what you bring to the table.
That part. And you don't have to announce it. You just bring it. Like, I'm all about the work. I don't, like, opening nights are fun. Doing, you know, fun stuff to dress up and look good. That's cool. I enjoy it, you know, but for me, it's all about the work. So when I've done my work, I'm confident because I did my work. Now, if I've had my auditions where I'm like, I'll see what happened. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm tired. I got too many other ones going on. I got a lot of stuff in my life. I see, and I've gone in insecure, unsure because I didn't do my work. So for me, and it's every day, like, working on myself, like, even spending this time to really sit down with myself and say, what do you want? What does the next 5 years look like? Like, that is the work. Instead of just showing up every day and hoping that it works out for me. Like, no, what do I want? Let me make my list. Let me make my vision boards. Let me make that phone call. Whatever is going to propel me. Every day I'm thinking about how can I just not only be better, but get to where I want to be. You have to make steps every day. You don't just hope and, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love. Okay, so I have some questions for you. Yeah. Let's see here. I want to know, there's some things that I want to know, like backstage things, like what's your go-to wig prep?
Go-to wig prep? I always braid my hair down. But see, I wear a lot of wigs or hats in my real life. Like, I wear a lot of wigs, so my hair is always prepped.
Nice, okay.
But I braid it down. I love a good, you know, and I don't know how to, you know, cornrow. But I know how to do a three, you know, plait or two strand twist and just go. Like, I'm good for that. That's me.
You do a two strand twist?
Yeah. Cause my hair looks big, but when I braid it down, it doesn't, like, it's fine. Like, it shrinks really easily.
Yeah. I think it's like one of those magic things about Black women's hair. It's like, look how big it is. And also we can make it really flat. And we could do
teeny tiny afro. And then when I get it, like, pressed out, my hair is like at least to my collarbone. I'm like, where'd you come from?
For those who are listening who are like, what's a two-strand twist? What's an easy way to describe that to somebody who doesn't know?
A two-strand twist is just like just two pieces of hair that you twist together. It's easier for women of color because we have a little kink. But if your hair is straight, like, I see, you know, young girls that are cheerleaders or something like that, they could do not a two-strand, but like a fishbone braid, or it's very similar to that. It's just braiding your hair, twisting your hair. That's the best way I can say it, because it's really visual.
When you're on Broadway, do you still do that same, do you always twist it down?
Always. I don't take my hair out every night when I leave the theater. Talk I don't take it. My hair down. Girl, it's just too much. You know what it is, though? I love the dressing room for that very, that's what I miss. It's just the camaraderie, oh gosh, my girlfriend. And sitting there and talking and doing our hair. And hair is such a thing. And thank goodness, it's only Black women in my show. So not thank goodness because of that, but just they're Black women, so they understand my plight. If I'm missing something like a, you know, some greaser, which I don't use grease, but a leave-in conditioner or something, somebody has it. And we have a big bin of stuff in our dressing room, girl. Oh,
you do?
So people bring stuff. Yes. So stuff that doesn't work for me, I'll take it in and it works for somebody else. So I don't have to spend as much money trying stuff, girl. We bring stuff in all the time. We rotate. It's the best.
Wait. How come we never thought about this at Beautiful? At Beautiful, we were always
all those women with that hair.
We're always changing clothes. Like, can you fit this? Do you want these shoes? Right. And it was like a thrift shop backstage. Yeah. Not once did I think, let's exchange
products. It saves you money because you can try something. Oh, it doesn't work. Great. I'll give it to somebody else. Then somebody gives me something else that I don't have to go and buy because it didn't work for them. Boom, boom, boom. I save. Deal. Or I wanted to try something. Oh, I loved it. Oh, it's my favorite thing. Oh, I missed that.
Groundbreaking. I hear from so many people in the Book of Mormon that backstage arena is really lovely.
It's lit.
Like,
we have fun. When I say fun, I have never, ever in my career had so much fun backstage during the show. Now, granted, normally I am on stage a lot. So this is new for me. Well, I don't have to be on stage as much in the ensemble. So that's great. So I can enjoy myself. I was like, this is what people be doing back here? Oh, having so much fun.
Wow.
So normally I'm on stage. So yeah, it's been lit. It's been good.
And let's see here. What products are you using right now?
Oh, TGIN. I like.
I've never heard of this. What
is that? TGIN. It's a leave-in conditioner. I'm a 4C, so I can categorize my hair. It's definitely 4C. I have many different textures, but 4C primarily. And TGIN, I can't remember what it stands for, but that's the acronym. And it's amazing. It feels like butter. I like a product. What I've learned, I'm obsessed with hair care. So I can literally talk about it all day, every day. Like, I'm obsessed. I know everything. I think I know. I know everything about hair for my hair. But yes. I've learned to pare it down. I don't have wash days. It takes me 2 hours to do my hair and I'm done. Boom, boom, wash. And that's deep conditioning, that's shampooing, everything, leave-in, braiding it down, drying it, 2 hours, boom, I'm done. Because I learned from my hairstylist, you just don't need all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Transitioning into natural in the beginning when I was a product junkie, obviously, because you're trying to find products that work for you. But now that I know what works for me, I'll try something every now and again. But I know what works for my hair and I can grow my hair like a weed. I chop it off a lot because I experiment a lot. Like, I'm a person like, oh, I want locks now. Oh, I want it dyed. Oh, I want a wig down my back. Oh, I want it braided. Oh, like, I'll try anything. But yeah. So, but now I know like what works. And so I have like maybe 4, maybe 5 products total. And I can still achieve every look.
Because it grows like a weed. Do you know how many people don't say that?
Oh, really? You know what it is? It's leaving it alone. That's what makes it grow. It's just because it's low manipulation. I'm not touching it every day. I throw a wig on usually, or I'll put a cute turban on or something, but I don't touch my hair every day like that. I'll spritz water because water and a little bit of leave-in moisturizer, boom, and I'm leaving it alone. So by the time I take my hair down, everybody's like, where'd your hair come from? You just cut it off. I was like, you didn't notice I was wearing wigs the whole time. I wash it every week. Now, when women say they don't wash their hair or they co-wash, co-washing is like putting lotion on in the shower instead of using soap. It don't make no sense. Why are you using lotion in the shower? That's what it sounds like to me. So co-washing for me, co-washing is like in between shampooing, you know, like, oh, okay, I wash my hair Monday. I work out a lot. I might co-wash on Thursday, but I'm going to shampoo again the next week. Like, I always go, what are you doing, girl? That's nasty. Shampoo it. Take the dirt. Because our hair is like a Brillo pad, so it's collecting all this stuff. You're out in the world. You're in the subway. Shampoo your hair, please.
So you do it once a week?
Every week. Once a week. Every week.
What do you shampoo with?
I love the Cream of Nature.
Oh.
Yeah, Cream of Nature. Yeah, I use that. Oh. Yep. And I like Pantene because Pantene works for me. I used to spend so much money on expensive products, and I realized they don't make that much difference for me. Now that you do get what you pay for. So there are certain conditioners I don't play. Shampoo, I'll keep it cheap every day. But conditioners, I'll spend money there. That's
what's
where I will spend
my money. What's one of your favorite conditioners?
Moroccan. I'm looking right at it right now. It's Moroccan oil. Excuse me. Sorry, because I'm that person. But it's the Moroccan oil.
Yes.
Mask, hydrating mask. And I love this. It's called Etie. It's E-T-A-E. They have a silk protein conditioner that I can comb through my hair like butter. I spend the extra. They sent me a package when I was on Bodyguard, like a free product, and I fell in love with it. So I will always buy the conditioner because I can always get through my hair with nothing.
Oh, I love. I'm over here taking notes, honey.
Yes, because I don't know if anybody else washed their hair like this, but I used to plait my hair. I used to deep condition. I mean, detangle, get in the shower, have to leave my hair in plaits. My hair was longer at the time. And then I would always have to keep my hair in plaits because I didn't want it to shrink up too much because then it would get tangled. I don't do any of that anymore because of this conditioner. I can just leave it. Leave it out a little fro, and by the time I sit down to twist, no problem, no kinks, no tangles. That is rare for me. Like, it's always like, oh my gosh, detangling. No, girl, please. That's what saves me time. Yeah.
For the Ete, the Ete?
Ete.
Got it.
Ete.
Oh, with the little thing.
Yeah, with a little pastry on over the top.
Okay, this is bomb. I'm so excited. Can you tell, okay, what about... You mentioned you used to have perms. What can you walk me through a little bit of your hair journey to get you through to this freedom that you have now? Because you
don't have the time, Felicia. I'm kidding. I'm like, Felicia.
Whoa. I mean, give it to me.
Okay, I'll try to. Okay. So, like many little brown girls, my mom did my hair. At some point, she got tired of doing my hair because it would fight back, right? So she was like, you've got to learn how to do your own hair. So that's when I became obsessed with doing my hair and trying different things. That's why I'm always like that now, like changing it up. So I started doing my own hair myself. Now, at first, my mom used to perm my hair, which I don't know if it was better or worse, but she was an adult, so I would think it would be better. But then eventually I was perming my own hair, and I start perming my own hair once a month. Because anytime I felt a little kink of new growth, I thought, oh, I have to perm it. Because I didn't know any better. Like, I was probably in high school is what I'm talking about. So, or even maybe even junior high, middle school. But yeah, girl, I was perming. So my hair was always breaking off. Like, I had the tiniest weedy bits of hair all around the edges. The middle was always broken because I used to wear those ponytails that you clip in and pull the drawstring.
Oh.
Or the weave wefts where you would wrap it. We get it real. Black girl technical, but the weave wefts, so you wrap the ponytail around and pin it. So my middle would be so broken off from just always being stabbed in the same spot with a bobby pin.
Whoa.
Or bobby pins. Yes. So I used to wear dookie braids, crochet braids, micro braids. I used to do it. Oh, I thought I was Moesha. You know, I was doing everything on top of relaxed hair that's already broken.
I love you.
The fact that my follicles are still rejuvenating and creating hair is beyond, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I did everything to my hair. I really, really damaged my hair for a long period of time. And then I transitioned, I think, after college. Yeah, I just got tired of it. And then YouTube was such a thing. I don't know if that's how you transitioned or what, but YouTube was such a thing. So I was like, maybe I should try it. And I remember cutting all of my hair off, going to the barbershop. I said, cut it off.
To the barber. You went to the barber.
Barber. When I say I'm doing something, I'm doing it. That's how I live life. It's not like, oh, I might. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it today. So I cut it all off. I was feeling good. You know, I felt really beautiful. I felt free. I was like, ooh, I came home. First thing out of my mother's mouth. Now, this was way back in the day when she didn't know any better. So I'm
going to preface that.
She knows so much more. But she's like, are you gay?
Nope.
Do we need to have a conversation? I'm like, first of all, not only am I offended for myself, I'm offended for people that are gay because a haircut does not make you gay, right? She knows it now. But, you know, everyone's educated at this point. But back then, I was like, oh, my. And I was like, what? And I didn't even think about it like that. So anyway, thank goodness I have a strong will, strong spirit. I don't get, you know, bothered by people's comments too often. So even my mom, So I just grew it out from there. And I learned from there. I just basically had to do my hair. I colored it when it was a short little afro. I used to just play because I was like, I've never touched my own texture. I never knew my own texture as a child, ever. Everyone had a relaxer.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thought it's the most convenient. It's, you know, no one thought about the safety concerns, you know, of just, and I was using it so frequently. Even now I have those spots where I would always leave it on for too long that I still have to, you know, the hair spikes me a bit there, you know? So it was a learning curve. It was like getting to know yourself.
That's the thing. It's like, we've got this hair that grows out of our head and we're so used to manipulating it, changing it to something else that when it's time to transition, transitioning seems like across the board, it's like, it sucks. I haven't met anybody who's just like, I loved it. It's like, what is this on my head?
Right.
And even when you do look at the YouTubers, even when you do find somebody with curls like yours, you still got to like put the time into what works for your hair.
Absolutely. People think it's just about the hair. It's like, oh, you're natural. No, this is a whole reprogramming of learning how to love yourself because you didn't really. And it is deep. You know what I'm saying? Some people go, it's not that deep, it's just hair. It is. It really is. You're talking about generations of women who did not know their own texture. Even now, my grandmother will sometimes say, you gonna do your hair? She don't mean no harm. Are you gonna do your hair? I'm like, it's done. Wow. And what's funny is I was the first woman in my family to transition my hair. And when it was short, everybody made fun of me. They laughed. It was a short weave. Because you know, when your hair is short, depending on the type of woman you are, which I am this woman, I have to do my makeup. You know, I want to feel very soft and feminine because I was still figuring out my hair. But once that sucker grew out and was a fro and it was big and it was luscious and I have edges, my family was like, what are you using? How are you doing this? Can you help us? Now I'm the guru. Like, what to do?
Jasmine!
Like, come to me. Here's the product.
Right. You said that's real though. And I'm one of those people. I'm like, the bigger and crazier my hair is, sometimes I'm like, let me just put on a fierce beat and
go. And your hair is stunning, girl. I remember when you cut your hair or you transitioned because you were posting. What's so beautiful about you is you share these moments in your life. And so I was watching from afar and honey, I've watched your hair grow. It is a lion's mane. It is fierce. You throw hoops on. You done, diva.
Throw up. You know what? Thank you because I was feeling busted. But when it was shorter, I was like, my gosh, who am
that
I?
That is deep, right? Because you associate beauty with length sometimes. I know I did. Associated beauty with length.
A lot of us do. It's just whatever is in the media, which is why I'm like, now we're on the other side of it, Jasmine, being a part of the industry. Like, we also have this responsibility. Like, and here's the thing, we still have the freedom. If you want to show up with a wig, you want to show up with a weave, straight hair, we can. Ooh. However, when we show up with our natural hair, we are sending the message.
Yes.
This is beautiful. It's okay for you to wear your hair like this too at work.
Absolutely.
With your friends, out with on a date. Like,
And it's regal. And it's still presentable. And it's still professional. We're still having these dialogues. It's crazy to me. But like, I'm like, it's weird for somebody to say something growing out your head. It's unprofessional. I'm like, how? What do you want me to do?
I hope that in a few years, we can look back to this time and be like, wait, what? You couldn't wear your hair like that to work? Yes. I hope it's like, wait, what? You guys couldn't drink out of the same faucet? That doesn't make sense to me. Like,
what are you telling? But yeah, so much of that discovery for a lot of us Black women is that with your hair, that's just another way of plugging into who you are. It's been a beautiful journey for me. And I've had to chop my hair up a lot. I have messed my hair up a lot, even being
that's
natural.
Awesome though.
But you know.
You do that and it grows, you're like, it grows like a chia pet. You didn't use those words. I'm like, but what do we do about this lace that isn't the color of everyone's skin?
This. I tell them immediately, there is no excuses. Do you see what's happening out here with lace front wigs and the way the girls are slaying them, even in Atlanta, New York, LA, Los Angeles? There is no excuse because the money that's being paid at these Broadway shows, them laces should be more than laid. If somebody's coming to to the theater to measure my head and make it for me, the least you can do is give me a lace that match.
Right.
You spend all this money, don't make sense. I can go, I know where to go to get some, give me the money.
I can get you a solid wig. Do you hear me?
No, I know where to go. Give me the money. But give me seriously, the money, honey. Because like when those lace lays down, like you can be in the back row of the audience and not have any idea. But if that lace doesn't match and if it is not laid, it's like,
you know, immediately. And yeah, it takes the person out of the story. They're paying too much money to come to the show for it to not be the best it can be, you know.
We'll be right back right after the break.
Okay, I've got a few more questions, like one or two more questions, and I'm gonna let you know.
Girl, I have time. Did you not hear me?
Honestly, but Jasmine, I am like, I love you and your spirit so much that I could hang out with you for hours.
I don't know why we haven't.
I keep forgetting.
That's our fault. We have to do that. We were so busy before, and then the pandemic, you just try to figure that life out. So now we know, and girl, if we don't do it after this, then that's on us for real.
Then that truly, I'm like, and I'm talking to you right now, and I'm like, I keep forgetting that we're recording for my podcast.
Same. I literally was like, ooh.
I know. I'm like, but I'm the same way. I'm like, I could just hang out with you. I'm like, oh, Salisha, you have to wrap this up eventually. Okay, so wait, let me ask you. You made your directorial debut a little while ago. And so you're doing these teaching classes for students, you're directing, you're starting to direct, you're crossing over to the other side of the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, like, for other Black women, and what if it's just Black people in general, or just women in general, who are curious about taking on more of a leadership role in the industry, who are actors and actresses starting out, like, how can we do that? What is that first step of, okay, I'm an actor, I'm an actress. And
girl, seriously, I'm still asking myself that, if I'm really real with you. For me, for my first chance, a friend asked me, he has a theater, and he was like, I'm doing Bubbly Black Girl, Sheds Her Chameleon Skin. I would love for you to do this. I feel like I just need a strong Black woman's voice because of the character. I really want it to be from her perspective. And, you know, I just think you can do it. He gave me some compliments on myself. So he was like, I really think you can do it. So I was like, no. I said, no. I was absolutely not. Because if it fails, it's really on me. Because I know being an actor, like, you can only make it work so much, because if the vision is not cohesive, if the storyline makes no sense, if the work isn't done, it's a mess, and it's the director's fault, because you are the engineer controlling everything. Like, you are the person to make sure the lights, the sound, the look, everything has to be cohesive. So I was like, I don't want that pressure. And he was like, okay. And then I got off the phone. I was like, him asking me if I want to direct. Who he think he is asking me if I want to direct? Because, you know, I'm an actor. I'm like, car, you know, I'm like doing this whole monologue to myself. And I was like, what you scared of, punk? What you scared of? Quit being scary. He asked if you could do it. You didn't even take the time to say, let me think about it. You just said no. And that's a whole other opportunity. That's a whole other skill set. I literally did this to myself. After I had this whole monologue, I was like, now, why are you being scared? And I realized, I was like, I don't know, because I've never done it before. You give all these excuses. And then I was like, that's why you should do it, for every excuse you gave yourself. So then I called and I was like, hey, did you find anybody to do?
I was thinking about it.
And then, of course, you do the whole prefacing thing. Just so you know, I've never done this before. Just so you know, I'm not into that. And he was like, I'm not worried about it. I know who you are. He saw it before I did. He saw it in me. And I was like, what? And based off my personality, girl, it was like a match made in heaven. When I tell you, it was one of the best things I've ever done for myself. It was the best thing, because it married my purpose, which is people. So I hired a lot of non-union actors that were just getting their start. They're primarily people of color, which is right in mission with my life, my brand. And I was able to pour all this knowledge that I've learned over the years into them, teach them how to be professional, what it means to book. When I tell you, when those kids finished that show, the bookings, they were booking. And it was because they were talented and they were prepared. But I know, and they called me. And that's the reason I would even use this as an example. But called me and was like, thank you for teaching me what it is to be professional. You know, they didn't get paid a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of money to even do the show, but it just taught me how creative I could take a shoestring and really do a production out of just literally no budget. And then just working with people and pouring into people, and look what they are now. Even when I check on Facebook, I'm like, them babies are really doing it. I'm so proud. So yeah, girl, it's just what I'm scared of, I usually run right into.
What I'm hearing you say is an opportunity presented itself to you. Yeah. You didn't exactly run through the door at first. Eventually you did say yes, and you showed up. So, okay. I'm like, when we come back from this pandemic, hopefully there's a lot of changes, positive changes in our industry. And I'm hoping, and I'm just going to say, I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people of color that maybe there weren't before.
Absolutely.
And so if the opportunity is presented, run through the door.
Say yes to yourself. Say yes to yourself. They've already said yes. And most of the time, people have already said yes to us. We don't say yes to us. It's like you talk and give yourself all the reasons why you shouldn't and you couldn't do it, and why you don't aren't equipped, and the imposter syndrome and all that. I've been there. I do it all the time, even now. Like these are the things I'm saying on this podcast is what I tell myself daily to make myself do stuff. So, and I would tell people, I did find Jalen Livingston. He's the, he's like a director mentor for me. He is the co-director on Tina, the musical.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And he does Douglas Lyons' show. So he
directs.
He's incredible. Jalen. He's incredible. And I met him. A friend took me to Douglas's reading for one of his shows. And I met him and I was like, hey, I'm trying to get into it. And I was kind of timid about it. And I was like, but I would love, can I just sit with you and talk to you? And, you know, I just asked. And he was like, yeah. So I followed up. And then I sat with him through a process of another show he was mounting. And it went from there. And I just call him whenever I'm like, hey, man, I'm just trying to figure this out. This is a pandemic. Because he's still working through this pandemic.
Wow.
You know, so I was like, okay, people creating opportunities. But what I'm finding is that other Black creators are really keeping the door open for others and sharing their knowledge. That has been so monumental.
Sharing
the knowledge instead of being like, I got myself in, you got to get yourself in. No, everybody's literally reaching back that I've experienced, reaching back. And that's how I operate. I always reach back. I'm like, girl, come with me. You know, even if it's an audition now, I will call my girlfriends and be like, hey, did you hear about this?
Yes.
That's the kind of friends I have.
Honestly, what God has for you is for you anyway.
It's for you.
You might as well be generous and like have that spirit of, because it always comes back to you.
It really does.
Yeah.
And you do not win trying to like hold other people back. You really don't.
Or even holding on to your secrets. It doesn't. Because there's a whole generation before us, Jasmine, that held on to secrets. And now we are all like, what do we do with our hair?
And it seems so small, but it's not, especially in theater. Like, what? How do I plan my hair? What?
Like, you get some. Me, I'm like, maybe I'm too transparent, but I'm like, look what I learned, everybody.
You're open book. That's a beautiful thing.
I already made the mistake. Don't make this mistake.
But see, no one's ever talked about the things that you're talking about, especially with hair in theater. Like usually a hairstylist or the wig people will look at my hair, because sometimes you come in with your hair out when normally it's braided down. But if they see it, they'll go, we can't fit that under a wig. They literally be like, we can't. How are you going to? You might have to cut it. I've heard that. I'm like,
No.
I'm like, have y'all never worked with Black people? You just braid it down. It's just because sometimes it'll look so like unruly. I've gotten that before. Can it just look a little bit more manicured? More, you're like, this is a fresh twist out. What are you talking about? I'm like, I'm banging. I'm banging. What are you talking about?
Seriously, though. I'm like, honestly. Girl, yes. Jasmine, I love you so much. Thank you for spending this time and
thank you for having me.
I'm like, your spirit, I can't say it enough. And I really just, I can't wait till we're in the same room together.
That's trouble. Because it's going to be loud.
It's going to be.
We're like, hey, screaming all the time when I see you, always.
I'm like, I can just see us now in the lobby of Rockefeller Center in a gown with a fro here or there.
Yes.
Ready for
I want to tell you as well, Felice, before we get off, your reputation precedes you. You have a fantastic reputation in this industry. People speak nothing but highly of you whenever your name is mentioned in rooms that I've been in. And I just, that is something to behold. People don't value that enough, how your name is being spoken of and how people think of you. So you're nothing but a light and salt on this earth. So I want to tell you that. You really are.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, that's going to be in my heart for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you need to hear that. Sometimes we need to hear how other people see us. Yeah.
Man, I was literally, oh gosh, we got to get off this thing. I'm like, yes. I'm about to go into, I'm like, I was literally on the phone with my therapist this morning being like, man.
People, me too. I had a therapy appointment this morning.
Literally yes. Twins. I'm like, people be throwing me under the bus and I let them. And like, this, you know what? So thank you for saying that. Yes. Like, you think that people think one thing about you and thank you.
Not true.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming on here. Thank you for sharing. And I'm really in awe and just happy that we know each other and can't wait to hang out more.
Same, friend. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jasmine.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.